Hello and welcome back to Flash Knockdown. It's season 4, episode number 9. We are in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia this week for Knockout Chaos. Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. And here's what we have coming up for you all on today's show. And the new WBA World Featherweight Champion, Ray Ford, joins me live on Zoom to reflect on his epic win last Saturday. The man who held the same belt previously, Lee Wood, talks his new campmate, Anthony Joshua, and also how to bounce back from defeat. Joseph Parker, I had a great chat with him a little bit earlier on this week. He talks his childhood, the dreams he had as a young man, and also his fight with Zhili Zhang this weekend. And also, we were due to have a brilliant guest on our coach trip quiz. However, we're going to try and surprise you with a very special guest a little bit later on today. Great show coming up. Do not go anywhere. Joe, great to see you. It's always a pleasure. Always brings a smile to everyone's face when I think you enter the room. You bring that sort of energy with you everywhere you go, which is great for everyone involved, yourself and Andy Lee as well, of course. If we could take a look into your mind right now at this stage of a big fight week, what do you think we'd see?
If you could take a look into my mind right now, fight week, what would you see? You would see a happy person, a happy fighter. You would see a confident fighter. You would see a fighter who's done everything right in camp, and a fighter who's nice and relaxed, ready to put on a very good performance on fight night.
And when you were a young lad, you first put the gloves on. You first probably used to practice your ring walks in your bedroom and dare to dream and see your name in bright lights in your mind. In what ways are events like this what Joseph Parker always used to see in his mind as a young man?
An event like this, as a young man, I would picture myself fighting in big arenas, and I would picture myself winning and being champion of the world. But now that I'm here, it's a lot different. You know, I got my team with me, my brother here, coaches, my massage therapist is here, and you know, I didn't take into account as a young kid all the travel, the hotels, you know, the audience, the bright lights. I just pictured myself fighting and winning. So being here now, I'm enjoying it all. I'm enjoying everything that I'm involved in, because these moments don't last forever.
What do you believe that young boy would say if you could tell him now where he was going to end up in this crazy old game of boxing?
He'll be like, damn. He'll be surprised, and he'll be... he'll be just happy to be a boxer and a fighter and involved in these big events.
How does it make you feel, Joe, as well? You mentioned your team there, and I know you're a family man to the heart. It's a big part of your motivation and life and happiness. But how important is it for you when you think about how inspiring you are as well to everyone back home and everyone who's with you on this journey too?
It's a privilege to be in this position. I feel like it's a great way to give back, to be a great example, and to show others that if you believe in yourself and you believe in what you're doing, that you can achieve everything and anything you want in life.
These fight weeks are a bit chaotic, I imagine. I mean, they're chaotic for us on this side of the rope. So for you, with all the media, and let alone you having to get in the ring and fight at the end of the week, I imagine it can be quite stressful. But what do you always do in terms of trying to appreciate them, because it is a short career after all?
Fight week does get busy and does get hectic, and there's a lot of things involved in preparing for a fight, but the way that I prepare for a fight and the way that my team prepares for the fight, as you can see, well, you can't really see right now, but I got my team here with me, and they keep me relaxed and they keep me calm, and everything that we have to do on fight week, all the obligations, we enjoy it. And we have fun while doing it, and I think it's important to do that, because it puts you in a good place leading into the fight.
And when you look, Joe, I mean, it's the same for everyone, really, but what can make you happy in this life and rich away from just finances? You look at health and you look at your family and love. Where does boxing rank, though, in terms of its contribution to making Joseph Parker happy, do you think?
Generally, I'm a happy person, and I'm happy. I'm a happy family man, I'm a happy husband, I'm a happy father, and I'm a happy fighter. Boxing has done a lot for me and my team and my family, and it's given me a great life. I'm able to travel the world, fight around the world, meet a lot of people, and experience a lot of things that other people don't experience. So I'm very blessed to be in this position, and I love it all.
And when you look at this fight then, on Friday, the eyes of the world are going to be on you once again. Tell us who you're fighting, just for the purposes of this, and what's at stake for you on Friday.
I'm fighting Big Bang Zhile Zhang, who bangs everything. It's a big fight with a dangerous fighter, and the fighters come in with a lot of confidence. But for myself, I just want to fight this fight and enjoy it. And the ultimate goal is to be champion of the world, but there's steps you have to take to get there, and this is the step that we're taking now. I have full confidence in myself. My team has full confidence in me. We've done everything right in camp, training-wise, resting, eating. So it's all, now it's time to go out there and enjoy. Enjoy the process, enjoy the fight night, and give it my best.
And after that fight, the fight with Joe Joyce, Joe, you always said to me that, like you said there, that the dream is to be world champion once again. But after that Joyce fight, what did you have to find within yourself in terms of self-belief, fire, motivation to get back to this point? Did you always feel that you would get back to this point?
There's a lot of people saying that we should be done with boxing now, but when you have a team behind you that believes in you and knows that this fight wasn't the best fight and it wasn't a portrayal of what you can actually do in the ring, you believe in yourself. And when you have the team and yourself believe in what you can do, you keep pushing on and you never give up and you never quit. And you always, you put in the work and you strive for greatness. And what we've done as a team is we're striving to be the best that we could be. And we've seen from that fight until now, we've made big jumps, big leaps, and we've only just begun.
What are you willing to do, Joe, to make sure you leave Riyadh a happy man?
I'm going to go out there and enjoy myself. When I leave Riyadh, I'm going to be a happy man, because whatever happens, I've given it my best. And my best is the best. I can beat everyone out there.
How do you see yourself winning in your visualization when you see the fight in your mind?
I see myself getting the upper hand. I see Zhang catching me with a few good shots. And then I catch him clean. I catch him with what Andy and I have been working on. I'm not going to give it away here now, but I can see it. I can picture it. I can visualize it. And it looks really good.
And a quick word on the main event as well. And Anthony Joshua, someone you know very well. And Francis Ngannou. How do you see this one unfolding from a neutral perspective?
I'm pretty much on the fence in this fight. I know Joshua's the fighter who's been a boxer all his life. But we've seen Francis Ngannou come into boxing, being a champion in the UFC, we've seen him come into boxing and put on his best performance against Tyson Fury. He had not the best performance of the night. We've seen Ngannou be hit with punches and kicks and elbows and not really be hurt. So it'll be interesting to see if Joshua can hurt Francis Ngannou. It's going to be a good, interesting fight that everyone's looking forward to watching.
And Joe, just finally, the slogan for this main event and show is Knockout Chaos. What's your message to the fans of why this is chaos that they want to be involved in this week?
Slogan for this fight is Knockout Chaos, because there's going to be knockouts. There's going to be chaos. That's why it's called Knockout Chaos.
Joseph Parker, great stuff, mate. Well, normally on the show, we bring in someone who's relevant to the big stories in boxing, to go over the best things to happen over the last 7 days or so. But as you all know, last weekend, something very special happened. Our first Matchroom homegrown talent from amateur to pro to world title in America became world champion, Mr. Ray Ford. So we thought we'd give him a whole section to himself. Well, I must say, I'm absolutely buzzing right now to be joined by the new WBA featherweight champion of the world. And for those who can't see him, he's got a massive smile on his face as I just read that out. Have you got used to it yet, Ray? Have you got used to that you're world champion, something you've always dreamed of?
I don't know. Like, for me, like, it's like, all right, the first couple of days, it's like, I find like I'm really a world champion. Then it's like, all right, now what's next? So that's the stage I'm at now. It's like, all right, I want what's next now.
And we can see the marks after battle on your face there under the left eye. How is everything healing up? And I guess considering what you've achieved You're pretty happy having a little battle scar, aren't you?
Nah, I'm never happy to have a battle scar. I'm never happy to get stitches on like needles. But I did what I had to do. This is what I had to do to, get the job done. And this is what I had to go through to get the job done. So it is what it is, part of the game.
How many times have you watched it back?
Only twice. I watched it twice.
What's going through your mind, particularly at those final moments? How does that make you feel?
I got like emotional again, like the first time watching it, because it was like, damn, like. And I understand, like, I've been getting a lot of messages about, like, other people, they was emotional and they shed tears and stuff, like, when I won the title because of, like, just the moment and how crazy it was. I'm feeling the same way how other people was feeling when they was watching it live, even though it's me, but it was just, like, it's, like, a crazy story and, like, not just in the fight, but, like, in life and then, like, going through what I had to go through in the fight and then how everything played out at the end and me being emotional. Me falling down to the ground just like it make you like want to root for me, you feel me? So
Who else do you think, when you think of what you've done, and obviously it's your own dream, you want to create your own legacy in this sport, but like you just said there, who else did you win that belt for, and why, I guess, did that help make you a bit more emotional when you think about it?
my family, my city, my daughter, my mom for sure. Like my mom, she was I when I watched it back too, I seen her crying in the crowd. Which I said that was gonna happen like in the interview before the fight. I said like I know she was gonna be in the crowd crying and stuff. And my mom, she been through everything with me. She seen me, she seen me at my lowest and at my highest. She seen me when it looked like I was going down the wrong path. She definitely proud of me and I came a long way. So I understand where her tears come from. And like I just to make her proud. It's like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, we saw the video of the moments in the locker room after the fight when you were with the team. I mean, that's got to be. Is it as good as you always imagined it would be, that moment? Is it everything you saw in your mind or better?
I say better. To be honest, I didn't even expect to be emotional after I won the belt. Like the whole time before the fight, I'm just thinking like, all right, I'm gonna win this belt, and it's just gonna be like, I'm gonna feel normal. I'm not like a person who like really showed too much emotion, so it's like. I'm thinking like, all right, once I win this belt, it's just gonna be like, all right, what's next? Like kind of how like I feel now. A part of it was like me going through what I had to go through the fight in the fight. It was a big moment for me. It was a tough moment for me, and just a lot I had to overcome in the fight. And then it's just like all the things that I've been through in life at the same time. It's just like once I got the belt, it's like I came a long way.
Well, you should be very proud of yourself, right? Because it's an amazing achievement. And like you say, this is just the start of your brilliant story, which is by no means written yet. Think of all the other chapters you've got left to write. I want to ask you about, to be Matchroom's first homegrown fighter as well in the States, Eddie Lee, the DMs on Instagram from your first conversation. Well, how proud does that make you as well? Because I can tell you now, we're in Saudi Arabia. And we're on the ground here, obviously, waiting for AJ versus Ngannou on Friday. Eddie Hearn has not stopped talking about you. He bumped into Anthony Joshua. I'll try and get the footage for you. And the first thing he said to AJ was, "Did you see our kid Ray Ford win the world title last week?" I swear to you, first thing he said. So he's buzzing. How proud does it make you to be a part of that history?
I'm always happy to be a part of history. Yeah, I feel great about it being the first, from the US to that Matchroom has built from the ground up to become a world champion. It means a lot. And it just made me want to accomplish more, so.
And when you think about the fight, just a quick one on the fight as well, because it was the drama. I mean, what a way to win it for a start. Like, I'm sure in your mind you probably thought you would win it in a bit of an easier way than that. You wouldn't have to deal with a cut and stuff. But like you say, I think that added to the drama of it. But did you feel you needed that stoppage in that 12th round? Did you feel you needed that moment?
When I'm in a ring, I don't really think about anything else other than me just locking in and being in the moment. So yeah, like I wasn't thinking about no scorecards or anything. I just know my team, they was kind of panicking a little bit. I heard Eddie in the crowd and my manager panicking. Yeah, I heard like everything they was saying and stuff, but I'm in here fighting. So I gotta focus on this guy in front of me and making sure that I get the job done in any way possible. I said in like the fifth or sixth round that I was gonna end up stopping him. I felt him breaking down. I was telling my coaches that I was gonna end up stopping him and calm down a little bit. Ain't no need to panic. I was gonna get it done. And that's what I went out there and did. I was being patient the whole time A lot of times he was throwing a lot of punches, but a lot of those punches wasn't connecting. I was allowing him to tire himself out, and I was just waiting on the right opportunity to, get the right shot in so I can eventually get him up out of there.
And you've already talked about it in this interview, Ray, about okay, what's next now? What could be next? We're talking about the story and the chapters you've got left. You spoke a little bit about maybe listening to your body, maybe being a little bit tight, making featherweight. What's in your mind now? You've had a few days to think about that.
I'm thinking about big money, so that's the main thing that I'm thinking about. So I don't know, we'll see. But I know Eddie, is thinking about me fighting Nick Ball if he ends up winning on Friday. So that could be a big money fight, a unification. I just seen like a stat somewhere that said like featherweight division hasn't been a unification bout since 2003 or something like that. So that'd be another historic night for me to go and unify the division. So I don't know. I'm not really going. It's not going to be like another 11-month layoff to where I'm not like getting down to the weight. I'm still kind of in shape. I'm gonna get right back in the gym. Yeah, it might be a little easier making this weight for one more time coming around. To unify the belt with Nick Ball. So. Hopefully he get the job done, and I'll be looking forward to getting down to this weight one more time to make that fight happen.
Would it interest you, because you talk about big money fight, that fight would be in the Matchroom versus Queensbury Promotions, who are of course our main competitor, I guess, here in the UK. That's a history making moment here in Saudi. Would that just make it more special? Would you like to fight over here in Saudi?
Absolutely. I know that a lot of guys going over there because it's a lot of money over there. So, like I said, I want big money. So make the most money I can make at this point in time in my career before moving up in weight, and probably making less money if I just move up right away right now instead of unifying and stuff. I can put a little more respect on my name and be able to call a little bit more shots and stuff.
What do you make of this Nick Ball fight against Ray Vargas? Obviously, we know lost to Oshaki Foster up at super featherweight, but back down at featherweight now. What do you know about this fight, and who do you expect to win?
I really don't watch neither one, so I can't really say. I'm gonna tune in though. I'm gonna definitely tune in and watch it to see who the winner is. I'm pulling for Nick Ball, so we, like I said, we can make that big fight and unify. Yeah, so that's what I'm going for. I'm pulling for Nick Ball.
And just a quick one on the main event as well. I mean, nobody expected Ngannou to come over here and cause Tyson Fury all sorts of problems. Surely
Yeah.
AJ can't lose to a 0-1 novice, surely.
I think AJ gonna go in there and win, but it's not like a fight that like I'm already like judge and things like that. I feel like it's just like one of those, I don't know what to call it. Like it's like one of those fights that boxers don't really like care for. Like for me anyway, like it's not like a fight that I really care for. Like I wouldn't want to see like an AJ fight a Wilder or a Tyson Fury or like one of the other top heavyweights that's actually in Boston. So it's not like I'm not going to judge AJ off of this fight.
And in terms of your final message you want to leave today, Ray, you need to rest up and spend time with your family. But what's the message you want to leave today? Just, I guess, of your mindset right now after becoming world champion and what you've got your eyes on next.
I'm not satisfied. I want more. I want more titles. I want more big fights. I want more money. I'm not content. So I'm destined for greatness. I'm chasing greatness. And Saturday night, that was just the beginning. That was the start of it. I'm not trying to hold on to one belt. Like I said, I was gonna move up and chase other belts. I'm not one of those guys who get a belt and just be like, okay, I'm okay with just this one belt. No, I want to chase other belts. I'm chasing a legacy. I'm chasing big fights. Y'all can just expect more big fights out of me.
Well, Ray, the Matchroom team in the United States are very proud of you. The Matchroom team in the UK are very proud of you as well. Well done, my friend. Congratulations. Enjoy the next few days. Rest up, heal, and we look forward to seeing you back in the ring very soon, mate, in some big fights, maybe against Nick Ball.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Well, I want to try and paint the picture for our listeners here. So we are on the ground in Saudi Arabia. which is the name of our new podcast, by the way. Make sure you check that out. Audio format right here on Apple and Spotify, the Match and Boxing Podcast, and available in video format on YouTube as well, On the Ground. That is the name of that one. But this is Flash Knockdown, and we are sitting currently, Scott, in
Italy.
So Boulevard World, which is where everything's being held this week, all the build-up events, the arrivals, the workout, the presser, the weigh-in, is in this amusement park called Boulevard World in the middle of Riyadh. It's about a stone's throw away from the Kingdom Arena, which is where all the action will go down, of course, between Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. And it's all segregated into different zones. You've got Italy, you've got Greece, you've got America, which has like Vegas and a mini sphere, a mini Caesar's Palace. You've got London over there. I can see the London Eye just over the water there. Venice, look, they've got gondolas going down a man-made lake. It's an interesting place, this. Probably the most interesting place we've recorded, Flash Knockdown. This probably beats Frank's office, groundskeeper Willie making a lot of noise.
We've been in a basement somewhere.
Been in a basement. Where else have we been? Oh, this is probably the best, actually. If the sun is shining, you're about to treat me to an ice cream, apparently.
Well, we've got, 40 minutes until it opens, I believe. Yep. Yeah, it's, we're doing all right to swerve the sun at the minute in a bit of shade in Italy.
Well, that is one of your traits, I think. I don't know if it's a good or a bad one, that whenever you hang around with Scott, you get to all the places about 9 hours before you need to be there.
It's better to be early than late, mate.
It is, but sometimes, like, there is early and there is early. There's Scott early and there's normal early. I mean, the presser, what time is it here? The local time is 3:18 p.m.
So we've got 3 hours, 40 minutes.
And we've already been here for an hour. The place isn't even
no us. Point, that's not
we have
true.
To climb over a wall to get in here.
All right, that's not true.
Just so Scott can be here on time. So, anyway, it's nice. It's chilled. We're counting down to Knockout Chaos, Anthony Joshua, Francis Ngannou. This is our first week together in Saudi, actually. It's the first time I've been here to Riyadh. Had a really good experience this week. Got here on Sunday. Flew out Saturday evening, UK time. Landed very early on Sunday morning, about 6 a.m. I got to the hotel and spent the Sunday doing all the sit-downs with Anthony Joshua and Francis, Joseph Parker, Zhili Zhang. The list goes on as well. But it is it's a great place here, and at the moment, it's the home of boxing, Scott.
Feels like it. I think Steve Bunt said it probably best when you were speaking to you on the ground a couple of days ago. It kind of feels like this is almost overtaking Vegas, and you get that feeling when you come here, it's for a big fight.
Yep.
You don't come here, no disrespect, for a littler fight. This is big business when you come over here. So yeah, it feels almost the norm now to me, to be honest.
How many times you been?
6 maybe.
Well, you were here obviously for Joshua Ruiz too. I mean, I remember when that got announced, I'd never even considered about Saudi being the host for that show, that event. How's it changed in the time from 2019 to now, in your opinion?
Yeah, big one. I mean, we spoke, didn't we, in the taxi over here. There's been a lot of change here, to be fair. And look, I'm not here to give it the big sell. You know, no need for me to do that. But it's clear the destination, the location, has changed significantly. And, you know, you only had to watch last night. The snookers come here as well. So look, sport as a whole is, you know, certainly a hotbed for Saudi Arabia, and look at the footballers they've attracted here. You know, we saw pictures of Ronaldo lurking with some of the fighters and whatnot. So look, it's clear they've got big ambition here, and it's probably only the start when you think about it. You know, there's plenty more stuff I'm sure they'll be looking to acquire and bring over to the Middle East.
I think one of the most surreal things is just how many people are here that you know. I've always said boxing's a bit of a small community, and it's a small world. There's no secrets, so that's why everyone has to be on guard in this game. You can't be you can't be backstabbing anyone, so to speak, because people will find out about it. Everyone knows everyone. But it's just, even watching the presser yesterday, Tyson Fury is in the front row with John Fury and Tommy Fury, and him and Francis Ngannou are having loads of back and forth. And like you say, Cristiano Ronaldo's here. I know R9 is also in the area, I'm told.
He's coming to the fight. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I saw Alistair Overeem. I mean, there
Manny,
is so
Manny
many.
Manny Pacquiao's
here. Conor Ben's just landed. It's just so many people here. It's insane.
People want to be here as well. I think that's the other side of it. It's almost seen, cool to be associated with it. And, if so-and-so's here, then, I need to be here to almost show face. So I think there's an element of that definitely happening.
And we finally got a chance on Matchroom. We made Matchroom history. We interviewed Frank Warren.
Good old Frank. I think he was a bit taken back at first.
I think he was.
We stuck it on him, to be fair.
Yeah, well, you did. Did he nearly say no? Did you say it's for Matchroom?
He looked at me, and obviously the microphone had the logo, so I had to sort of say, well, it's for Matchroom.
I think he enjoyed it. We had a good little chat.
Right, a little smile.
It was only about 3 minutes. We had a little bit of banter. I told him the mic suited him.
And what, the 5 versus 5 would be soon approaching, so it's going to be all on. You had a little bit of back and forth with your counterpart, Mr. Sarney, yesterday.
Dev Sarney, yeah. Well,
you fancy it?
I spoke to Charlie Parsons and he messaged me saying, look out for my interview because Dev calls you out on it.
Have you seen it?
I've not seen it yet, but I half offered Dev out yesterday and he didn't have much to say. So, but perhaps, you know, he'd just come off air. He did a brilliant job hosting the press conference. Perhaps he was a bit, you know, the adrenaline was going.
Could be on Before the Bell, maybe.
Maybe. I think I'd bring some numbers in, to be fair. No, I'm only joking. Dev's a good geezer. I like him. I've enjoyed getting to know him over the past few months. I think that's been a cool part as well for us, is especially for me, like Frank Warren and Tyson Fury and all these guys have just seemed like a distant world away. I talked about knowing everyone in boxing. We didn't know anyone. I didn't know anyone to do with Queensbury. So it's been nice getting to meet all these people as well, learning things from them and picking things up and working together to bring you this fight, which is an interesting fight. It's an intriguing fight. There's always jeopardy when it comes to Anthony Joshua, especially when you're in there with a guy the size of Francis Ngannou. He is one of the biggest people I've ever seen in my life.
He's quite intimidating. He's got an intimidating presence.
Intimidating but lovely at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Sat down to do his interview on Sunday and I asked him to sit backwards on the chair. Keep an eye out for a piece called The Inside Look. That's going out on Matchroom YouTube a little bit later on,
it'll be out
Friday, Thursday night, Friday this week. And I asked him to sit backwards on the chair because that's just the style we do it. And he basically said to me, are you trying to make me look like an idiot?
Wow.
I said, no. No, with a very nervous laugh. And then he slapped me on the back and said, I'm only joking. So he's got a bit of banter as well.
Is he going to land this Superman punch? Is he going to try it, do you think?
I think if he lands any punch, AJ could be in a spot of bother. It's huge. He is a massive bloke. And the thing is, what's different to the smaller weights is that with McGregor and Mayweather, I mean, Eddie actually put it right when I asked him about it. You know, it's different at the smaller weights. You know, I don't think there's anyone in the UFC anywhere sort of between featherweight and middleweight. There's no one who could come over and beat a boxer, in my opinion, just because of the movement. But when you get to these heavyweights and the big boys, it does only take one punch. And what will he be having on? 10-ounce gloves. He's a big man. You know, and I think there's danger. AJ has to be on guard here. No risk. It's a massive fight for him because of the golden gates that await, it seems.
Yeah, so much has been made about this whole, you know, Ben Davis and Lee Wiley sort of tactical sort of setup. But in a certain extent, that kind of maybe is a little bit redundant in a way because it's new territory.
You've got 10 rounds.
Exactly, yeah. So that, I think, is an interesting fact as well. I think you said in a different podcast the other day, this is completely new to AJ to a certain extent. He's fighting a 0-1 novice, but at the same time, like you say, he's up against someone who could switch his lights out at any minute.
I actually think AJ is going to stop him.
So do I. We said it last week, didn't we?
Yeah, Lee Wood said it. I think we might have said it. Yeah, we did. We talked about it. But even being here this week, AJ seems relaxed. And I think that's a great sign. He seems really chilled out. I'd be interested to see how he is at the weigh-in today, because I think that's always when the wheels start to turn and that focus just begins to tighten. But I just feel like AJ wants to do a bit of a number on Ngannou here. I know he says he's not bothered. Do what Fury couldn't and set up a super fight towards the end of this year.
Yeah.
Fury, or what do you want to see? Usyk 3 with this new Anthony Joshua, Fury. Revitalised Joshua, or
definitely,
Fury?
Definitely Fury. Yeah, I suppose the only thing is, if they fight in May the 18th, they're already talking about a rematch for the sort of back end of the summer,
so
September.
So whoever wins Fury Usyk, there's another fight, is it?
Apparently. So is Joshua then going to fight Hrgović for the IBF?
Maybe.
Maybe the same card for the rematch? I don't know. And then they fight in December or something.
You know what's
like
mad, though? I mean, obviously, you'd have to ask AJ this. But I've got to a point where I don't even want to see him fight anyone else anymore.
Mm.
I feel like he's done. He is by far and away served his.
Well, he said that at the press yesterday, didn't he? He went through his resume and it's unrivaled.
Wilder. I still wouldn't mind seeing the Wilder fight just because he hasn't fought him yet.
I think that's the back of the queue for me now.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
If it's not Fury or Usyk, I'd still like to see Wilder.
I still think it'd be great for him to stake a claim and say 3-time heavyweight world champion.
Yeah, that way he goes into a different league there.
Yeah,
AJ's the man, 100%. Outside of obviously the current champions and champion status.
Well, Wilder maybe needs a win then, if that's the case.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I want to see him fight someone he's not fought, and then he can't say, I want him to be able to retire and nobody to be able to question him. I think he deserves that. And
I think they always will. He does get a bit of unfair criticism.
Yeah, he's so overanalyzed, I know. And we're going to come off that we're sticking up for him here because we work for Matchroom. It's not. I just think he's the most, his life is under a microscope. I just want him to be able to retire. He fought Wilder. I think he'll beat Wilder. And then get it on with Tyson Fury. That's the fight that everyone wants to see. But Anyway.
A lot can change in the heavyweight division.
A lot can change.
But I say one punch can change it all.
Yeah. What's the name of this show again?
Flash Knockdown.
What's that? No, Knockout Chaos, you don't. That was meant to be the last line. Well, coming up this week on Dealing With Defeat, it's almost like we're keeping a trend here between friendship groups in this sport of boxing. Because last week, we had a brilliant chat with Mr. Jordan Gill, who's certainly been through a lot out of boxing, but been able to really find form in the ring, and it's really helped him change not just his career fortunes, but his confidence as a person as well. And this week, we've gone for his long-term best bud, really, Mr. Lee Wood, who you used to live together, and now you're training together as well, as you have been for a number of years. But I guess, firstly, Lee, how proud are you of your mate, Jordan? I mean, because I tried to get you over in the ring in Belfast. I sort of half called you over. I think you wanted to let Jordan have his moment, but it's been an incredible and a roller coaster few months, hasn't it, for him?
It has, yeah. That night, I didn't want to jump all around the ring. You know, I wanted to let him have his night, let him have his victory, and it was nice to stay in the corner of the ring and smile over and look like, because like a lot of people don't know, he helped me. So when we was both Ingles for a number of years, I think it was like 7 odd years as a pro for me, nothing was happening, and eventually Jordan took that leap of faith and left, and we was all like, it was hard for us to leave, especially for me, because I moved there to turn pro with Brendan, and I thought I was going to stay there as a pro, and when Brendan passed, things weren't the same. I wasn't getting opportunities, but Jordan, like I said, took that leap of faith and left and went to Caldwell, and then a fight fell through for me, and I came back to the flat one time crying, and obviously I was 30 years old, I had nothing in my bank account. I had no fights lined up, and he said, look, I think Dave will manage you. Because obviously Jordan was training, getting managed by him at the time. He just moved from Ingles, left, and won the combo straight away. And he said, look, Dave will manage you. So he helped me when I needed the help. And then going full circle, I went on an incredible run after I left Dave and went with Ben. And then he didn't need help. He was at a time like you've all heard when he went through a bad patch and everything else that went around it. Then I said, look, come and train down here. And at the time, not sure if Ben had a lot on, he's quite busy, so I'm not sure if he was gonna agree to train him, but I was like, look, just get your foot in the door, come away on training camp, get in. I think when Ben meets you and realises you're like me, you're a sound guy, and it'll give you time and give you what you need, and that's what happened. He came away on training camp, and he slotted in, and before you know he's beat Mick, and now he's got a massive fight coming up, and he'll be on the verge for a world title himself, and it's a brilliant story what all the things we've been through, the trials and tribulations to where we are now.
And we're sitting here in the, what would we call this? The reception or restaurant area in the Fairmont Hotel in Riyadh, of course, counting down tomorrow to your new stable mate, your new pal. We're seeing pictures of you behind the scenes, chilling with him. Anthony Joshua, how's it been for you, Lee? I mean, you've trained alongside many great fighters, but sometimes people say, I mean, there's so many cliches in boxing, success breeds success and all this. And that's something I've always felt certainly resonates in Ben's gym. But how refreshing has it been for you since the big man's been in the doors?
Yeah, it's been great. Everyone's on their own path, their own journey. But for me, it was like when AJ came, I was like picking his brains and asking him questions about many things. More for reassurance for me that I'm doing everything I can do and I'm on the right path. Like just little 1% you get. Like I heard off one of his friends that he uses the hyperbaric chambers. I'm like, oh, I use them for camp twice a week for recovery and if I have any niggles or anything like that. So like just little things, it's nice to be reassured that he uses them, they're not wasted time, and he'd try and get them 1% so I can pick his brains about other things and without pestering him too much, you know. But his attitude and his approach to training and to his fights, very similar to myself. So again, that's nice to see. It's good to have another fighter in the gym as professional, and it rub off, like you said, it breeds success breeds success, but it's more down to the individual details. If someone does things a certain way, people will follow suit, especially the lads that are coming in the gym. If they see one person doing things a certain way, they think, oh, he's just being a bit extra or whatever. You don't know. But if they see two people like fairly close to the top of their tree doing things a certain way, 100% they will copy. And that will help them forge doing the right things on their path.
And AJ strikes me as someone who is an observer and always trying to learn more. That's something I've certainly picked up from him over the years, and I think what is really impressive about his attitude is he's never got complacent. You say that you've been able to pick his brain. Has he been able to pick your brain as well, is because he does strike me as being quite inquisitive as well, no matter what level of fighter he might be speaking to or person.
You'll have to ask him, but I have seen him doing certain things. Because obviously, Ben works a different way to anyone I've ever worked with. And the way they break things down and you drill things. And sometimes you're trying your best to do something, you think you're doing it, and they said, oh, you're not quite doing it right. You're like, what we're trying to practice? Hard to explain unless you've been in that situation. But anyway, there was a time when I could see AJ trying to do something, and I said to him, look, I know it feels like you're not getting it, but just stick to doing it and it'll click. And I always have these little conversations with him here and there, and it's good to see like he's going through things that I went through when I went there, and or certain camps I've been through the same thing, and then watching him do it with a smile then watching him get the victory, it's like it's like I said, it's quite scary how similar is to the things he does and the way he approaches things.
And in terms of how he's feeling ahead of tomorrow, obviously you've been around him, like I say, we've seen all the Instagram pictures, no doubt you're loving, I'm sure your followers are going through the roof as well, posting pictures with a big man, but he seems relaxed. Is he? I mean, it's an interesting fight. This is not like a normal fight for AJ. It's the first real... Do you know what? I don't want to call it an exhibition because it's a serious fight, a crossover fight. It's the first of AJ's nature that he's had like this, but how's he looking behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think you can see it on his face, his demeanour, his confident, but he's confident because he knows what he's got to do. I'm not sure, I can't speak for his other trainers and that, but I know with Ben, what you get is clear. How you need to approach the fight is clear. You'll know your opponent's strengths and weaknesses, you know how to nullify them, and you know how to get off your strengths on fight night. And that's why he will be confident going into this fight, confident in conviction, confident in knowing what he's got to do. So yeah, he's ready. And I'm expecting a great performance from AJ. And I can't speak for anyone, but for myself, like, I think he's going to stop him inside eight.
Okay. Ben thinks the same. Ben thinks the same. And usually, he's pretty spot on with his predictions. A couple of ones on you, Lee. We've seen you and Josh Warrington. That narrative seems to continually be building on social media, mainly about haircuts and hairstyles. I've seen you put in Josh's hair on your head. Where's that one come from?
For me, the Josh Warrington fight would only make sense at the City Ground. And I said that not too long ago. The City Ground fight's all through, but now... It seems to me like everyone wants to see the Warrington rematch.
I want to see it, as a fan.
Yeah, I think everyone wants to see it. And I think the way it's building, it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I think he's jealous of me. jealous of me getting the victory over him. Jealous of what I'm doing. Jealous of the run I've been on. Jealous of my hair.
The perm, yeah.
Jealous of my hair. So I don't know. He's just trying to goad me into a rematch. But it's working. It's working. And I want to shut him up. I want to shut him up for good. Got some conversations this week with Eddie and Frank. I think that is the best option for me. I was looking at other world titles and things are quite tied up at the minute. I don't want to sit around and wait. This could be my last year of fighting. I don't want to sit around and wait for a world title for 8 months, 10 months when this is my last year. I'd like to have three fights. Now the City Ground fight's not materialised this year. There's a chance it could happen next year. I don't know if I'm going to be fighting next year, to be honest. But if in the case that I am, and I still feel great, a three-fight plan. Warrington would make sense to be first, but we've got to have the conversations. That would make sense, and then another fight, then City Ground. Let's shut him up for good. You know, the fight's brewing well. We've got to have the conversations and that, but it's most likely at the minute.
Maybe a big fight in Saudi in the middle then?
Possibly, but I'll come back to you on that one because I need to experience the fight night here on Friday night. I don't know if that would be the best thing for me. I feel like sometimes...
With the crowd and the atmosphere, you mean?
I feel like the victories I've got over the line, especially Conlon and Warrington, I think I have to credit the crowd as well. The crowd picked me up off the canvas against Conlon and they made me dig deep against Warrington. So maybe that might not be the best thing for me, but we'll see. I'll let you know after Friday night.
And a quick one on your old belt as well. The WBA World Featherweight Crown. Ray Ford, great win for us at Matcham, of course, the first homegrown fighter in the States. What did you make of that fight?
I left a bit of magic in that belt, didn't I?
I know, it was Lee Wood style, wasn't it? Completely Lee Wood style.
A great victory, and you know, I think Komatov gave me a remark on Twitter, I think it was last year sometime, and he said if I fought Lee Wood, it was a video, if I fought Lee Wood, I'd stop him inside three or four rounds. And I just quote tweeted and said, you're not really beat anyone. And to be honest, I think Raymond Ford is going to beat you. And you can come back to this tweet. I haven't gone back and dug it up, but I thought, looking at the styles, you know, it was a typical monster, puncher, stopping everyone, going to smash everyone and win the belt. That's not always the way things go. That was the narrative, but Raymond Ford's a great fighter. And every time, in recent times, looked great, but every time he fights someone good, he'll raise his stock. And he did that and won the world title. Congratulations.
Now, Lee, this... I got carried away there talking to you because we always love catching up. But this section is called Dealing with Defeat. And we're just going to have a little chat about it now. Three defeats in your professional career. When you take yourself back to the first one, how crushing was it for you at the time?
More crushing than anything I've ever been through. I wanted to win that British title since I was 12 years old. And at the time at the gym I was at, like, it felt like it was then or never. And that's what it felt like after the fight. Again, going back to Jordan, when I got beat, I was in a bad place, and Jordan actually stayed with me overnight at the hotel after the British title loss. And I'm glad he did, because my head was all over the shop. I cried. I didn't just cry that night. I cried for days, maybe even weeks. I put on a lot of weight. I went up to, like, I can't remember, the heaviest I've ever been, even to this day. I was, like, touching nearly 11 stone or something for my frame, and that's quite big. I actually went to watch a friend fight, Leo, and... I walked into the corridor into the changing room, and he said, "You didn't recognise me." I put that much weight, but that was the hardest defeat to take for numerous reasons. But doesn't make defeat easier after that. But because of the manner that it was, and I felt like I was the better fighter, I was winning the fight, and a few things that went around it, my weight and the training, and it was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Did you think it was? You know, I know I speak to fighters and no one wants to lose. And it's not just in boxing, it's in anything competitive. We all have that competitive nature. But was it not just the pride? Was it also that you felt that it was over? Did you feel the dream was over at that stage?
Yeah, I felt, because I wasn't signed with the promoter, that was a hard opportunity to get. I didn't get paid a lot of money for that fight. It was a chance to win the belt and then go on to bigger things. So not having a promoter, you don't know when you're going to be fighting. So up until that point, I even boxed for free one time. In fact, I was talking about this yesterday. I boxed on a show to keep busy and didn't make enough money to cover my opponent and the show. A fellow on the bill actually gave me some money because he sold a lot of tickets. He actually gave me 150 quid that night. The coach was like, "Oh, look, chuck me 150 quid. So he's getting something out of fighting. But yeah, it's frightening when you haven't got a promoter, how hard it is to keep busy, and you don't know what's coming, you don't know when you're going to be fighting, if you're fighting for a belt, if you're not. Getting into position for a title is hard. So yeah, I felt like losing that is going to set me back a long way, and it did. It took me God knows how many years again to fight for that British title. Was it 6 or 7 years? So
that was a special night as well.
Yeah.
Very smart, yeah.
And, even today, that British title meant so much to me. Even today, that's still the best feeling of winning any fight.
Wow.
And I've won, obviously, world title fights. I beat my biggest domestic rival. And, you know, I've been in some unbelievable nights, even the Conlon fight. But winning the British title as a feeling after the fight trumps all of them.
Just before that, of course, you boxed Jazza Dickens. Now, that's the second defeat of your professional journey. And that was, you know, a fringe world level fight. I think was it for the IBO world title? It might have been.
WBO European, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at that stage, what was going through your mind in comparison there? Did you contemplate walking away from the sport after that Jazza Dickens fight?
No, but a lot of people around me were saying, "Look, you got kids. You know, I think I was 30 at the time. You're 30 years old. I was 31 in the August. Maybe you should get a job. You know, start making some money." Because I didn't have a lot of money then. That was my biggest payday to date, that fight. So yeah, that was another defeat. It was hard to take. I lost on points. It was quite close, but I didn't do the right thing. Looking back now, watch that performance. It's actually cringier, the mistakes I was making that since being with Ben. But I do feel, looking back though, if it was a 12-round fight, I'd have got to him. It was only a 10-round fight. It was very close, but it was still hard to take, especially everyone around me. Look, the age you're at, it's going to take time to rebuild. For me, it was never an option, but it was harder to deal with people around me telling me, "Look, you need to consider what you're doing." In my head, it was like, no way. And I've had that off my mum before when I was on Team GB.
Must be hard.
I had no money. She's like, "Look, you need to get a job. Like, you got this, you got that." And in my head, I was like, "Look," I remember saying to mum, "Look, I know what I'm doing. Just leave me to it. And I love boxing. I know I'm going to get there. I know what I want to do. Just keep out of it," kind of thing. We were quite a heated argument. But you have to be like that. You have to know in your own head and believe in yourself no matter what.
And that's passion as well.
Yeah, that is part of the passion. And if I had, and my minimum in the sport was to win a British title. And if I had not won it the second time round, I don't think I could have walked away. I'd have still been there till I was 40 years old trying to win that British title. But I knew it's kind of reality as well. I knew I was good enough. So regardless of what happened, it's just, I felt like sometimes in my head, when I got beat, it's like, this is just a test. How bad do you want it? When things happen in my life, like not having no money or injuries, I've had three major injuries as well. Like every time they came up in my head, they were just obstacles. You're just getting tested. How bad do you want it to the top? These are like the gates, and people fall at these gates. How many people would have quit there? Okay, every time you get past one of these barriers, the numbers to that level drop. And if you keep going, you'll be the last one standing.
And that Mauricio Lara fight, the first fight, you were boxing brilliantly. I was on my brother-in-law's stag do up in the mountain somewhere, had no signal. I made everyone come off the Wi-Fi so I could watch that fight. And you were boxing brilliantly. And what struck me after that fight is that you were just so annoyed at yourself that you just made a tiny mistake. And I guess against someone like Lara, it just proves you can't switch off for any matter of time in this game.
Yeah, that's it. I felt like in that fight, I started to land big shots, which was part of the plan I stuck to. I was setting the shots up right, and I was landing the big shots, and then because I was setting them up quite easy and landing them, I went away from the setup and I started to just look for the big shots, and then I tried to bring him onto a big left hook to close the shot. In my head, I was thinking, pack tight, not in Marina. I'm winning this fight, I'm landing big shots, I want to get him out, I want the icing on the cake. And in doing so, you know, I got caught, and it was hard to take after the fight. Straight after the fight, I knew I could get in there in 10 minutes to beat him. Well, that's in my head. Obviously, you know, my team wouldn't let me, but like, I could fight him the next day and beat him because I knew what I had to do. I could have made that fight so easy, but I intentionally went to try and get the knockout and paid the price.
Then you put it right. Then yeah. You beat Josh Warrington, and now you've got all the chips. You've moved up in weight, and everyone now wants to fight Lee Wood. You're now the man in control, the ultimate Cinderella man. I guess, Lee, what would be your message? Because there'll be young kids listening to this who might have just lost their first amateur fight, like you. They're not listening to their family. They want to carry on. They've got big dreams to one day be Lee Wood, to be champion in the world. There might be young professional fighters who have just lost their first six-rounder in a little step up, their first eight-rounder, 10-rounder title fight. What's the ultimate message in this game for to never let these defeats define you?
Yeah, like, my advice would be to the younger lads that are boxing and are true to themselves and actually want to go on and to do things. Take it step by step. Don't be in a rush. In the amateurs, get as much experience as you can. Don't be in a rush to turn pro. Get that experience, because fighting, even if it's amateur, every time you get through the ropes, you're dealing with different things. You're dealing with the nerves of the night. You're dealing with the preparation for the camp. You're dealing with how you react when you hit, how you react when you call certain shots, body shots, selps with shots. There's so many things to go around. The experience of fighting, get as much of it as you can. And then when it's time to turn pro, you know, there's going to be things in your life what set you back, whether that's in your personal life, in your professional life, your fighting game. Just don't be disheartened. You know, you've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You're going to go through adversity. You may go through injuries. You may go through, like I said, personal things in your life. But you've got to keep boxing as your priority if that's what you want to do. And if you're willing to go through all them trials and tribulations and setbacks, even loss, I'm not saying you will get beat as a professional, but you need to be that mindset of no matter what I go through, I'm going to get there. And I'm sure you'll get there. You got to be prepared to go through that.
We heard it from the main man there, Lee Wood. He's had his setbacks in this sport, in life as well, but he's come back, achieved his dream, become British champion, fought in front of his city, his family, his people, become world champion, and he's still not done. He's still not satisfied. Who knows what stories, what chapters are left to write in this brilliant fairy tale of Mr. Lee Wood. And if you can see him now, he started off as a humble man. You can't see this. This is audio only. He's got a three-piece suit on, a tuxedo, two Rolexes, one on either wrist, a crown. Look at him. Stay humble, Lee. Yeah? And, stay humble.
One other thing as well, like, you say, like, I'm not satisfied. I am satisfied to a certain extent. You know, I've achieved, from when I started out as a 12-year-old boy, like, I was a lot, I want to win a British title. I want to box a world title and hopefully win one. I don't want to sit back and look back at what I've done too soon. But at the same time, I always tell everyone, I want to achieve my maximum. And I've achieved what I've achieved. And I'm not finished. I've not been out of my depth. So for me, I haven't achieved my maximum yet. when I get to the point where I can't do what I want to do every day and I can't train and I can't perform in these fights, then it's time to look back and go, look, I've done all right, now's the time. But now's the time, it's not yet. That time's not yet, and I've got a lot more to give. I still got a fire burning inside me. I haven't achieved my maximum yet.
Well, Lee Wood, always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Enjoy Riyadh, enjoy Saudi. Best of luck tomorrow with Ben, the team, with Anthony Joshua as well, of course, and thanks very much for your time.
See you fight night. Thanks for having me.
Justice, good to see you, mate. Just set the scene for us. Tell us where we are, how long you've been here, and how far away we are from fight night as well.
Yeah, so we're in Riyadh. I'm excited, I'm pumped, ready to go.
Mentally, physically, how would you describe the emotions and how you're feeling right now?
I've been over the moon, eh? This whole experience for myself has been something new for me, and you know, I'm just taking it all in and just soaking up all the, you know, atmosphere, everything, the experience. It's going to stick with me forever, and I'll carry with me into the future.
And what have you made of the whole setup? Because things are a bit different here, and you've got all the crossover. You came in the ring just after the Big Bang, Xili Zhang, and there's so many other great heavyweight fighters here. What have you made of the whole environment here in Saudi?
I think it's awesome. You know, the atmosphere, the energy, being able to train and perform alongside these other top athletes is it's awesome for myself. It's an awesome experience for myself.
Yeah. When we've grabbed a few words with various members of the team. When you come away on trips like this, why is this all you need, do you think?
What do you mean? Just the team?
In terms of like the people around you, quite a small team, but why is this everything Justice Hooney needs?
That's who I have around me at home. So, you know, I bring it over here with me and it feels like I'm at home, and it's good to have that support when I'm going into the ring. So, yeah.
We were talking to your dad about when you were a young boy and you were playing rugby and you were talking about boxing as well, and we know boxing's been in your family for a long time. How pleased are you? And I suppose when you look back and you look at where you are now, there was a decision you made to take up boxing full time.
Yeah, it was probably the best decision I've ever made to stay and stick with boxing, even throughout my teenage years, to be able to stick with it. Through, you know, you meet a lot of people and then there's a lot of distraction. So to be able to stay on track and still have full focus of my end goals is, you know, it's credit to myself, I think.
Absolutely. And in terms of, we were talking as well about the inactivity. I know you've had a little bit of frustration before you had that fight last October. What have you had to do mentally to keep yourself going, particularly when them times have been frustrating?
For myself, I just push through it, and it's made me mentally stronger. To be able to, you know, take all of that, all the setbacks, and be able to keep pushing. Now when I have a setback, it's like nothing to me now. You know, just take it on the chin and keep moving.
And everyone, not just the team here, promoter Eddie Hearn as well, speaks so fondly of you, believes you've got a massive future in the sport. What do these words do for you, Justice, for your motivation? Is it something you ever listen to? Do you try not to listen to it?
Yeah, well, it just makes me push harder. You know, I've put a lot of time and effort into this sport. So, you know, finally now it's starting to, you know, pay me back, and you know, start to get my name out there a bit more. And, you know, to be able to perform on a card like this, it's massive for me. You know, coming from everything that I've been through, all the fights that I've fought, and to be able to finally, you know, be able to fight on one of these cards. Hopefully one day, someday soon, be able to headline. But yeah, I'm just grateful and blessed to be able to be a part of it.
You're still only 24, only 8 fights in. I know you turned 25 in April because it's a day after my birthday as well. But what is the dream for you, Justice, and how strong is the ambition?
The dream for me is just to leave a legacy behind in this sport. You know, leave my last name behind. And yeah, hopefully, you know, gain all of those world titles one day.
When you look at this fight then, like we say, it's your 9th fight as a professional. Where does Kevin Lorena sit, in your opinion, when you break it down in comparison to who you've boxed so far?
No idea. Just for me, it's another challenge, you know. It's another stepping stone for me to get to where I need to get to. You know, every opponent that I've stepped in the ring with has been a tough challenge. So for me, this is just another tough challenge, and I'll be looking to overcome it.
What do you know about him as a fighter?
He's very strong, front foot fighter, explosive. So I'll be looking to hit and move. Hit and not get hit, that's the key for me.
We know he had success at cruiserweight, but he moved up to heavyweight and proved in that Dubois fight, didn't he, that he can give the big boys trouble. Is that a fight you've watched, and if so, what could you take from it?
Yeah, I've watched a couple of his fights, and you know, both fights he's shown the same style, so yeah, I'll be cautious of any wild punches that are coming my way. I'll be switched on the night, so.
This is a big platform, and you never want to put too much pressure on your own shoulders, but what do you do in terms of demanding from yourself, knowing the stage you're on and the eyes that will be watching Justice Ooni?
Just do me, box, and everything I've learnt over the years in the sport, I just got to put it all in the ring on Friday night, and I think it'll be enough to, you know, get me over the line.
Is there any impetus to make a statement? How do you want to win this fight?
Yeah, obviously, I want to put on a career best performance. But yeah, I'm not forcing any knockout or stoppage to come. If it comes, it comes. I'm just going to do my work. Just slick boxing, that's my goal.
I know you'll be eager to get the job done and then probably come out ringside and enjoy the rest of the fights. Let's ask your opinion on a couple of the big boy fights. We mentioned Jili Zhang. That's a very intriguing fight with Joseph Parker. How do you see that one going?
I think it's going to be a tough fight for both of those boys. I think Parker's speed and footwork should be able to get him over the line, but you never know. He's up against a pretty talented southpaw, so it'll be a good fight to watch.
And that main event, I mean, Francis Ngannou came over here, didn't he, last year and proved just about everyone wrong. Anthony Joshua can't lose to an 0-1 novice, can he?
You never know, but... me personally, I'm backing AJ to come away with the win in that fight. I think Francis has good boxing ability and that, but I think the natural boxing ability goes to AJ, and he's just spent more time in the ring and he's got more experience in the ring. So, I'm backing AJ.
Last couple now. Justice, were you at the dinner last night with His Excellency and Cristiano Ronaldo's floating around? Did you meet anyone special?
Yeah, that was a great experience for myself. You know, just to be in amongst those guys and walking around and being able to talk to a lot of those guys is mad experience for me, man. I know a lot of my friends and that back home, they'll kill to, you know, meet those guys. So. For me, I'm taking it all in, soaking it all up, just grateful to be amongst them.
Who did you meet? Who did you have a chat with? What can you tell us?
Joseph Parker actually introduced me to Tyson Fury, met AJ. I actually met AJ a while ago over in Sheffield, but I don't think he remembered, but yeah, met him again. Just to be in the same room as Cristiano Ronaldo. And he's like the most popular man on the planet. So, it was an awesome experience.
And just finally, Justice, what's your message of thanks to all the support you've had? I know you're probably excited to get back home once you get the job done as well. But for everyone watching at home, your friends, your family, what do you want to say to them ahead of Friday too?
I'd just like to say a huge thank you. Thank you for riding this wave with me and supporting me. Make sure you tune in Friday night. I'll be looking to put on a good show.
Well, thanks as always for listening to Flash Knockdown, and thanks to all our great guests this week. The talking is nearly over, isn't it? Anthony Joshua, Francis Ngannou from right here in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. I'm actually going to be in Tenerife, as I said a little bit earlier on in the show. Hopefully we'll be able to bring you an episode remotely from our different places across the world. But thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.